I want to start with just a bit of a later start. And you'll notice at the back of the bulletin, this photograph, which has been a bit blurred by transmitting it electronically from one place to another. This is from September 23rd, 2007. The Dodgers are hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Chung Ling Hu is batting for the Dodgers. It's his third at bat of the game, and he singles. And Vin Scully, announcer for the Dodgers, prompts the crowd to say all together, "Who's on first?" And you've probably seen it since then from time to time. It finally happened, and all this. I put that there because it reminds me of what I think is the most important question for us, particularly those of us who follow Jesus, who receive the benefit, if you will, of his death and resurrection. And that first question, you might say, is who is on first? And we have a tendency, a temptation, I know I do, quite often, if I'm not disciplining myself and catching my thought pattern, to be thinking of a different question. And that different question comes out of a set of circumstances which you've become familiar with. In the mid-80s, there was a book called Resident Aliens. William Willimon wrote it. He's a Methodist bishop now. God bless him for that. And he makes an observation. He says, in the town where I'm living in 1983, the movie theater opened on Sunday afternoons for the first time. So you could go to the movies on a Sunday. And our culture shifted with that opening. He's correct. So right away, we have a lot of competition. And we have people who are making choices other than worship. And we moved at that point from what you would call a Judeo-Christian culture to a secular culture, which has religions in it, ours being one of them. We tend to react to that and respond to that situation by saying, what are we going to do to increase attendance, to increase the income, to increase the programs, and so forth? And I want to suggest to you that that's an extremely important question, but not the first one. The first question is, who's on first? It's shifting from asking, what do we do, to who do we equip and send? Who are the ones who are ready to take the gospel into the places where it isn't right now? Who are the ones who would encourage us to do what Jesus is calling us to do? And that's a very large shift. We've been looking at that to a great degree during Lent, as we have been considering really what our response is to the secularization of our culture. And in other words, how do you unpack the question, who is on first? Well, it is by the gifting that Jesus has given us, as we've looked at during Lent. And we've seen that each of us has a basic motivation, a base gift, if you will, and we've seen it in biblical terms out of Ephesians. Some of us are apostles. In other words, we awaken dreams in other people. Some of us are prophets. We reveal what's going on, the truth about the situation in other people. And for those of us who are not prophets, they tend to be the most annoying among us, as you've probably discovered. There's some of us are evangelists who tend to gather people, no matter what the question is. You got to come to this. They're always gathering people. We've seen pastors who bring wholeness and healing to people around them, no matter what's going on. And we've seen teachers who really, by what they teach us, if you will, open up the future in new things and innovation and that sort of thing. We've seen that. That is a very brief review of what we've done over the past 5 weeks. One of the main things to keep in mind, which is the answer to the secularization of our culture, is that these things are not capacities or talents. They're people. And the gifts of Christ to the church are people. And the people who are the gifts of Christ to the church are the ones sitting on your left, on your right, in front of you, and behind you, and a few others who couldn't make it today. We are the gifts to the church. And each one of us has that shared capacity from Christ, that in relationship with each other, you receive the ability to do ministry as Christ has asked you to do it wherever you are. That's what we've seen during Lent. And that's what we want to build on today. We want to build on that just a little further, because there is a place from which that comes. Your base gifting comes from a certain place. The death and resurrection of Jesus. And that's what we saw in the epistle reading today, the reading from Philippians that Richard read a few minutes ago. He did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself and became as a servant, became as one of us. And God raised him up to an exalted place, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is every knee and every tongue in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Now, how do you get to the every? By you and I receiving each other and what Jesus has flowing through us, so that we are able, wherever we go, to extend the kingdom, to extend his grace, to bring his mercy, to do the ministry he's asked us to do. That is what the church is designed to do. That's the picture of the church that Jesus has, that he works now to draw us into. And as we go into that design, if you will, we begin producing what he desires for us to produce. All of that comes from us following him. And when we follow him, we follow a path that he took. And the path that he took was equality with God, was where he was, and then he emptied himself and became as one of us. When you follow him, you take what he asks you to do for the service of others. That is the emptying path, if you will. That is the path that he took. And that will work in various ways. And there's ways that will work among us this morning and in the weeks and months and years to come that we don't even imagine. They haven't even entered our minds yet. There are things that are coming that will be produced from Jesus that will be completely new. And that as you hear his voice and you begin following him in the way he created you, then new things start coming out. New things start being born. And it all comes from hearing his voice. You may have even had an inkling of that this morning as we were singing a few songs. And you start engaging with the Spirit of Jesus. And then there's something else going on. Something there. You can barely see what it is. That's the kingdom of God opening up in front of you just as you engage with Jesus. And you probably begin perceiving that, whatever it may have been, according to your base gift. So if you're apostolic, you're thinking, wow, would I love to see that. Or if you have a prophetic base gifting, you're probably thinking, We got to make sure everybody sees that. Or if you're evangelistic, you're probably saying, you know, I don't know what that is, but I'm going to get as many people in here for that. Or if you're pastoral, you're thinking, wow, you know, I know about a dozen people right now. If they saw that, their life would be so incredibly much better. And then, you know, if you're a teacher, you might say, wow, man, the future that opens up, incredible. And you can't, you're barely able to describe what it is because you just start engaging with Jesus in a song, and it's maybe 5 seconds that hits you, and then all of a sudden you find yourself reacting that way. Now, what that means and what that points to and what that calls us to is that when we follow Jesus and we go on that path of emptying ourselves and being filled with Him, we are able then to equip each other. We're able to move ahead with each other. We're able to see Jesus in each other. We are able then to be equipped to do the work that Jesus desires for us to do because it's coming through each other. We see more of Him than we'd ever seen otherwise. That's how the church is designed. That's how He desires for it to work. And that's what He calls us to. And that's what we see as we follow this path in Philippians, where He says, let this mind be among you that was in Christ Jesus, who did not count equality with God something to be grasped. Okay, everybody okay? All right. So we've talked about this for a few weeks now. And what we're going to do after Easter is we're going to start moving into how it works among us, how you actually start practicing this, what it means for you to live your life in this manner, what it means for you to be discipled by someone else who you figure is the same as you but has a different gifting. They're a different gift to the church, and you start receiving through each other, how that goes. Because that's what we're created to do. And that's what the church is designed to bear fruit with. All right, good. I'm just watching you to make sure. I just want to make sure. If you have this look on your face, like, what in the world is he even talking about for this 6 weeks? I was going to keep on going. But a lot of this is review, and I'm tying it together because it ties directly to the crucifixion of Jesus and how you follow Him. It's where it comes from. Now, there is a challenge that I want you to take up, and the challenge is this. I want you to see new things. When you see things differently, you see different things. And I want you to see different things. See, what I don't want you to do anymore, not that you're doing it much, because this is a wonderful place, and Carol and I are just so happy to driven across the country to be here with you now for a year into the second year. But what I never want you to do is walk into this room, see empty chairs, and think, out of reach. It's not going to work. I want you to walk into this room and see different things. I want you to see someone from whom you can receive something of Jesus you don't get by yourself. So that when you then are relating to your friend during the week, they get something from you they've never had before. And they start getting thirstier for what you have. That's a very different thing than, you know, what are we going to do to fill the place? It's who are we going to see Jesus with? It's going to be great. It's very different from what we do in the rest of our culture. Because if you get an infection or sick or something, you go to the doctor. And when you go to the doctor, you don't expect the doctor to teach you how to practice medicine. You expect the doctor to practice medicine for you. If you get into legal trouble, not that you will, but when you do, if that happens, you go to the lawyer and you expect the lawyer to practice law for you, not to teach you how to practice law. What I'm asking you to do is not take that approach to your Christian faith, where you come to church and hope that the minister will practice the ministry for you. I want you to expect me and other leaders here to equip you to do the work of ministry. Now you see why it comes from the crucifixion. It goes the other way from the rest of our culture. When that happens, the things that we can't even imagine yet, as Chesterton used to say, that the church is the place where the wild things run free. That's what we'll be running with. That's what's ahead of us. That's what Jesus has in store. So as he prompts you and moves you to see things differently so you can see different things, what specifically is he speaking to you right now, today? What's he beginning to tap you on the shoulder about as we sing to him and come to his table? And then the second question, of course, what would he have you do about that? Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we bless you and praise you and thank you in every way for all that you've provided for us. And we ask you now, guide us in the path of following after you, that we may do all the things you've called us to do, all for the glory of your name. Amen.